T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Today on the Gains Podcast, we're talking ETFs, exchange-traded funds. I think it's a great time to talk about ETFs because they can give investors easy access to all kinds of asset classes, from any commodity you can think of, to stocks in any region of the world, to bonds, yields, and all at a pretty low cost. I'm Andy Gersher, and this is Gains. Let's bring on Bill Ulivary, owner of Senecal Capital Management in Glenview. The website, check it out, senecalcapital.com. That's C-E-N-A-C-L-E, capital, C-A-P-I-T-A-L.com. And then, Bill, you also have a special things for the Gains listeners in particular that they'd find a lot of value in. Throw that out there.
Well, thanks, Andy. I appreciate it. We have a newsletter that I send out, you know, every 3 weeks or a month. It's covers the stocks, bonds, the market, cryptocurrency, like everything. And you can text the word blockchain to the number 22828. That's text blockchain to 22828 and get started by subscribing to our email newsletter.
Always great to have you on the Gains Podcast, Bill. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I really appreciate you you know, connecting with me and, you know, chatting a little bit about exchange traded funds and these more old school products rather than crypto. So this is going to be an excellent conversation.
Yeah, Bill, and it's a good time to talk about exchange traded funds because it gives investors access to other assets and areas of the market that stocks don't always do. And so let's just start there. What is an exchange-traded fund?
Sure, Andy. Well, an exchange-traded fund is a basket of securities or commodities that an investor can obviously invest in, right? And so when you're buying an ETF, you're buying a particular symbol, like a three-letter symbol, like SPY or QQQ for the NASDAQ 100, the Russell 2000, IWM. So an investor, by buying shares of an exchange-traded fund, like the three that I just mentioned, you own basically a symbol, and then behind the back end are the actual securities that comprise that particular index. So all 500 of the S&P 500 stocks are in SPY. All the 100 NASDAQ stocks are in QQQ. You just see the one symbol on your statement, but behind that, the performance trades exactly with the underlying index.
And unlike a mutual fund, an ETF trades in real time. And you were mentioning ETFs that are tracking a particular index. They trade throughout the day as the index does as well, unlike a mutual fund. Just real quick, explain the difference between an ETF, exchange-traded fund, and a mutual fund.
Well, really, in my opinion, the difference is the transparency, the cost, and the regulatory framework. So a mutual fund basically is just one account. It has a larger regulatory burden. It was governed and regulated by the 1940 Security Act, or otherwise called the 40 Act. And it trades once a day. Like, you buy it and sell it at the closing price at the end of the day. It's something called net asset value. So your five-letter symbol that typically ends in the letter X is a mutual fund symbol. And inside that, say, for example, it tracked the performance of the S&P 500. This mutual fund symbol would have all 500 stocks of the S&P 500 in an account that the mutual fund company manages. But again, there's a regulatory structure. The legal framework is different. The tax structure is not as efficient as an exchange-traded fund. The ETFs, on the other hand, are like the version 2.0 of mutual funds. You get to trade them intraday. They're very liquid. They're incredibly transparent. You can trade options on them. And they're just, it's just a whole new universe of investment products for investors that actually reduce the cost of owning a basket of stocks and achieving more index-like performance. They're really a wonderful, marvelous product for most investors.
And as I was mentioning, you know, there's ETFs for commodities. There is ETFs for bonds. There's ETFs for stocks, or, you know, a particular group of stocks or foreign stocks. I think the great thing about exchange-traded funds is there's an ETF for almost anything right now. And so you can get exposure to things that before you weren't really able to. And I'm thinking from agriculture to precious metals, the stocks. I mean, you can even get an ETF on treasury yields. There's another thing, and we'll talk about it in a little bit, where there's an inverse. That's one of the beautiful things about ETFs is just the exposure you can get to areas that normally weren't there before.
There's really an exchange traded fund for almost anything. I have, you know, my database has roughly 2,600 exchange traded funds and exchange traded notes. Like you said, Andy, it's natural gas exposure, crude oil, copper, coffee, cocoa, like the entire complex of agricultural, corn, wheat, soybeans, like all these things are now available to investors. And this has really been something, like you had mentioned, that brought to the forefront lately, because inflation and the conversation of inflation and commodities has been really top of mind for most people for the last 2 years or so. And so in addition to just plain vanilla exchange traded funds like the S&P 500, SPY, IWM, QQQ, like all the ones that are very familiar to most investors, you can almost get exposure to virtually any kind of commodity or bond, emerging markets.
And you can be long or short.
Well, again, I'm looking here at about 100 exchange traded funds or exchange traded products that's short the agricultural market, double short the agricultural market. You can buy dry bulk shipping exchange traded fund, you know, biotech, NASDAQ, Bitcoin. You can do whatever you want in terms of long, double long, short, or double short for virtually every kind of product. It's actually kind of a little overwhelming, but if you wanted to buy the US dollar, you could buy UUP. And if you wanted to short the euro dollar, you could buy EUO, which is a ultra short, two times, like a two beta euro dollar short position. So like these new products basically cater to the most, I'm not going to say advanced trader, but whatever you want. It's like Las Vegas. No, it's not like Las Vegas, but I mean, anything you want to buy or sell, anything you want to be long or short, single or double beta or triple beta, it's available in some kind of exchange traded note.
And at a very low cost.
That's correct. And again, I think it boils down to that, you know, regulatory and legal framework that the exchange traded funds typically have. They have, again, like I said, Andy, much lower legal and regulatory requirements, and that is able to permit them to offer a very, very low annual management fee. Now, Vanguard's done a great job on their mutual funds and their ETFs, and my gosh, you know, some of these big firms offer zero-cost exchange-traded funds, like zero commission, although their annual management fee might be like a couple of bips, basis points, but you know, it really, if you're looking to do a double or triple short ETF, you don't really care that much about whether you get charged 0.25 or 0.36 annually for holding this thing.
There are some warnings with this because there can be deterioration over time. Just for example, and let's use the Dow as an example. And I've talked about it on the Gains podcast before when you know, markets were looking really, really rough, and the Dow theory was telling us that it's going to go much lower. That was one of the vehicles I was using to short. I wasn't outright shorting. I was using an ETF vehicle. I was using Dog. That was the ETF to short the Dow. So using that as a Dow. So you go long on the Dow. There's an ETF to go long on the Dow. But at the time, things didn't look good. I didn't want to be buying stocks like I normally would. And I wanted to just outright short the Dow because I felt like it was going to go lower. So I bought the ETF Dog, which the price of Dog goes up as the price or the value of the Dow goes down. You can also, of course, you know, go long on the Dow, and there's an ETF for that as well. But yeah, let's use the Dow as an example, just to kind of boil it down.
Well, year to date, DOG, Dog, the short Dow 30 exchange traded firm from ProShares, it's up 13.29%. So if you bought that, you know, at 12/31/2021, you would be up 13.29%, where the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 14.5% as of the close from yesterday, yesterday's close. And so here you have a like 1.2% difference between the positiveness of the Dow and a negativeness of the Dow Jones Industrial Average. But, you know, there could possibly be a little bit of drag inside there. It could possibly be maybe a little dividend stream that the DIA may have that the Dow DOG doesn't have. So there's always a little bit of slippage, Andy, you know, a little bit of drag on these inverse ETFs. They don't quite track perfectly. And besides, the Dow short ETF symbol DOG, that has an annual management fee, I think, of about 0.99% or 0.95. So maybe some of the actual drag might be caused just by the overall expenses that these things have underneath the hood. So, you know, investors should be, you know, understand and be aware of that.
And a lot of times they settle these on a daily basis too, and that can be a factor. That's the drag you're talking about. That's and that's mainly more so for ETFs that are like in the, for instance, Dog, where you're actually shorting the market. I see a little bit more drag, so to speak, on the shorts versus the long ETFs.
Hey, and it's been a good trade, Andy. I mean, you've done great in it, to be honest with you. And listen, you know, when you're short the market, there's generally, you know, greater expenses to do that. I mean, to be short means you're buying put options. It means you're buying calls and selling the underlying security. And look, and here's another exchange traded fund that you're talking about, the Dow. What about S-Dog? S-Dog is the ALPS dividend, like dogs of the dividend dogs. So it is a it yields 4.11%. The symbol is S-D-O-G. And again, it, you know, it tracks broad market, you know, equities and pays a healthy dividend. So I think there's just, again, so many different ways you can bake a cake. You know, investors are probably well served to take a look at, to see if they have a position they want to make in something, and then see if there's an exchange traded fund that's available for it.
We're going to continue the ETF discussion right after we take a quick break. Hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts if that's an option for you. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We'll be right back right after the break.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All right, we're back with Bill Ulivieri, owner of Senecal Capital Management in Glenview, the website senecalcapital.com. So, Bill, one of the ETFs that I often use to hedge and get a little exposure to gold is GLD. I know you're familiar with that as well. So let's start the conversation off with GLD.
Sure, sure. We trade, we have GLD for our own client accounts. It's a great way and a popular way of getting exposure to the price of gold. And it also has options available on it. And so for us, we don't want to necessarily reinvent the wheel. My clients primarily, if they may already own gold bullion or some numismatics on their own, in their own safety deposit box or on their own. But everybody was complaining about two things this year. One, they were concerned about inflation, crude oil, and expenses. And two, they were just kind of wondering in general why gold didn't perform as this inflation hedge that they expected in 2022 and for some parts of 2021. And so, again, they have a diversified portfolio. You need, stocks, bonds, your S&P, your QQQ, high-yielding funds, maybe some high-yield corporates, and a little bit of commodity exposure. And GLD was one of the things that we have in the past purchased for our clients. And again, highly, very active, lots of volume, optionable, and it's just a great product for people that are looking for an alternative asset class for their retirement accounts.
Another area that you can get exposure to by using an ETF is agriculture. And you don't have to be super sophisticated. If you want exposure to corn, then you the ticker CORN. If you want exposure to wheat, it's the ticker for the ETF on wheat is WEAT. Soybeans, SOYB. Cane, which is sugar cane, CANE. Tags, which we've talked about this on the podcast before, is the combination of corn, wheat, soybean, and cane, and that's tags. It's a nice tool that's not so sophisticated and just easy and low cost to get exposure to these different areas that I think a lot of, especially newbies, are a little reluctant to even wade in. And I think that's one of the key values of exchange-traded funds.
Well, yeah. I mean, gosh, Andy, you just named so many good ones. Again, coffee, corn, cocoa, like any type of commodity complex you're interested in taking a look at, or again, trying to add commodity protection to your portfolio. I mean, you nailed it already with the corn, wheat, and soybean ones. There's DBA, the Deutsche Bank Agricultural Index, that is a combination of like corn, wheat, and soybeans, all in varying degrees. So it's exciting that investors have so many different places to go. There is cotton, aluminum, sugar. There's a something called a commodity carry strategy. Corn, livestock, copper, base metals. I mean, the list goes on. Nickel. It just goes on and on and on. There's just palladium. There's like nothing you can't buy in terms of commodities using exchange-traded funds and exchange-traded notes. And again, each investor kind of has to do their own due diligence. You want to make sure that the annual management fee isn't too high, make sure that it perhaps isn't too volatile. For example, in the double short or double long exchange-traded funds. Again, there's a great opportunity. Sugar, yeah, cane. I'm looking at sugar cane right now. That was, that was trading at $4.75 or $5 per share. Now it's, $9 a share. All these commodities just launched in the last year, Andy, because inflation just really attacked this economy. And look at how far we've come, Andy. In April of 2020, crude oil was $40 below zero. It was negative 40 per bushel. All the commodities were absolutely got annihilated. The entire commodity complex got crushed back then. And then, boom, as soon as COVID hit, these things just went up, 100, 200, 300%. So where do they go now? I'm not sure. Commodities are one of the most volatile asset classes out there. So a lot of these things are down 20, 25% or more year to date. But hey, at least you've got a tool in the toolbox that you can use to defend and add a different diversified attribute to your portfolio.
Another area that comes to mind, I was actually in the business, was currencies, and it can give you exposure both long or short on foreign currencies. It can give you exposure to treasury yields. I mean, it's amazing the access that just the regular investor has, and it's, you don't have to be super sophisticated. Now, there is a warning to some of this, and especially as we mentioned, I've called them double or triple baggers. I mean, there's a little bit more risk that goes with those versus even just the straight, you know, even one for one ETFs. But there's some downside, and I want you to just kind of hit on some of the warning that you should give the gains listener as far as ETFs.
Well, Andy, that's really important, and that is, again, there are exchange traded funds that hold the physical basket of these goods that we're talking about in an account. But then the exchange traded notes are really like unsecured debt, where the ETN sponsor is promising to make good on the rate of return of an underlying commodity. So it's just that the investor should know whether it's an exchange traded fund or an exchange traded note. These products can lose value. There's counterparty risk more on the exchange traded note side. And so again, you don't want, you know, these ETFs that are double and triple beta, inverse or, you know, even long, so to speak, the long, double long ones, you have to treat them with a lot of respect, because I do know that some day traders and people that use technical analysis and they have their trading rules, these things are so volatile, it's very hard to have like an old school trading system with a triple beta ETF, because these old trading books were not designed or written necessarily when these double and triple beta ETFs were in existence. So your trading rules just might not work. So you may have to expand your perimeters and parameters for your rules-based trading game. But I'm just saying, you know, for an investment advisor, I kind of like the old school OG exchange traded funds. But again, there are some of my clients that have more of a gambling and active trading mentality that are okay with that. And for them, the ETNs and ETFs are a good space if we're going to select the double, you know, beta ETFs or even the commodity-based ETFs. Again, each investor has to go to the website, look at the prospectus, you know, bring up the fund summary and make sure that you feel comfortable with the liquidity, the market capitalization, the annual management fees. And again, just use your due diligence and be careful, because these things move like crazy and you may lose more than, you're not going to lose more than your initial investment, but just, you know, buyer beware. Be very, very cautious with these things.
Another area that investors can get exposure through ETFs is investments in a particular country. So say, you know, conditions look really good for Brazil, or conditions look really good for South Korea, and just kind of hit on the ETFs giving you exposure to foreign markets. And do you have a favorite?
Well, as a matter of fact, funny that you mentioned that, but I have been looking at I've been looking at the Chinese yuan exchange traded fund. That is symbol CYB. I think that looks really interesting, because there's so much conversation lately on the rally of the U.S. dollar. U.S. dollar is at 20-year highs. I'm beginning to like CYB, and there's also another Japanese exchange traded fund. The symbol is, I just need a second to find it. Is it GXC? GXC is the Spider S&P 500 China ETF. I think it looks really good. China's been trading sideways for about, you know, 10 or 12 years. It's hardly, you know, it did decline during the COVID, you know, issue back in, you know, 2020. I'm sorry, in 2021 into 2022. China had its own problems, but I just kind of like the way it looks. So right now I'm looking at exposure where foreign markets will probably increase in value if our U.S. dollar begins to decrease. I know that sounds a little bit crazy, but it's just, I like the way the chart patterns of China look right now. I'm still not a huge, you know, Euro fan. I'm kind of liking the Brazil, Russia, India, China funds, the BRIC funds. only because, again, Russia has been out of favor for a while. China looks like it's just getting some legs. Brazil, I think, got a little carried away maybe last year in the rally of those Brazil shares, and they pulled back quite a bit.
Sorry to cut you off here. The one that I use that I like for Brazil exposure is the Brazil Index MSCI iShares. The ticker on that is EWZ. You know, if I look on the chart, that's actually a pretty reasonable price and something that I'm comfortable buying into. And that's how you can get exposure to a basket of Brazilian companies. And so that's why these things are so neat. Each ETF has a particular focus. And, you know, again, it's an easy way for someone like me to just get exposure to Brazil because I think the conditions are right there and the pricing's right versus going out and actually going out and buying a bunch of different Brazilian stocks.
Right. Well, listen, Andy, you picked out a really good one because here we have – so I was looking at BKF, Boy Knight – I should use my ham radio phonetic. You know, Bravo, Kilo, F as in Frank, right? And yours is EWZ. So – your expense ratio is 0.59%. My fund is 0.7, so mine's a little bit more expensive. My yield is 3.91%. Your yield, your dividend yield, is an insane 13.32%, which is crazy awesome. Your fund inception, your fund was started in year 2000, you know, July 14th. Mine started in 2007, and so to be able to compare these funds side by side are really important. Our the year-to-date P&L, let's see, is mine is down 20%. Yours is down 7.5%, which is interesting. So then I have to say to myself, well, what's inside? Right? You have an 18% position to Campania Valeria Dolce. I mean, I don't even know what that is yet. It could be an energy company. It could be a, you know, who knows what it is. So the composition of your products are way different than the composition and holdings of mine. Mine are like 8%, 6%, 3%, 2%. Yours is 18.5%. Then it goes down to like 7.75%, 6.6, 6.3. So my ETF is mostly consumer cyclicals and technology and industrials, financials. Yours is basic materials, which has done awesome, right, in utilities, financial products. So again, ETF is only Brazil. Mine is Brazil, Russia, India, and China. So I've gotten hurt more on my side than you did. Yours is pure Brazil. Mine's four different countries.
Another one that comes to mind for me is the ticker's EWY. I like using the iShares, and I'm just consistent with them. But EWY, that's the iShares MSCI South Korea ETF. Which and that's what I use to get exposure to South Korea. So it's interesting to compare these because that's even another thing is, you know, going back to the Brazil example, there are multiple ways you can get exposure to Brazil. And that's where you do the homework and look at, you know, what are the components? What's the focus of the holdings? Give me another ETF that you like when you're trying to get exposure to a foreign country.
This is really a timely conversation that you and I are having, and I'll tell you why. Because the U.S. dollar has rallied so much, it's at 20-year highs. The high dollar has hurt investments and asset classes everywhere. And so I'm just now beginning to look at some of these sector exchange, I'm sorry, it's not sector, but the country ETFs. And if you give me just a second,
yeah, and in the meantime, because the dollar has climbed as you're looking that up, because the dollar has strengthened so much, I'm finding value in some of these emerging markets, in some of these other countries, and you know, a strong dollar, we're getting more South Korean stocks. We're getting more Brazilian stocks when I'm buying these ETFs that I'm talking about. And I think that not only are the components in these ETFs are going to do well, but also I think the dollar's going to, you know, eventually give a little ground, you know, back
sure.
because it's just been so strong, and that benefits some of these. That's why I'm really kind of a little bullish on emerging markets right now.
Andy, so am I, and so I like EEM. That's the iShares Emerging Markets. I don't think you brought that one up. You brought up EWZ, but EEM I like. VWO, which is the Vanguard Emerging Markets Exchange Traded Fund. And if you and I think that the dollar is going to decline, well, then we could buy UDN. That's the down U.S. dollar market. So there's an inverse U.S. dollar market. Now, I don't really – it's the Invesco U.S. Dollar Index Bearish Fund. Now, I'm not so sure we really need to allocate to that, because if the U.S. dollar begins to fall – our asset classes like the S&P and our across the board should probably rally, right? So, but however, if you wanted to take a shot and speculate in a fund that will go up in value if the U.S. dollar declines, then UDN is kind of an interesting place to look.
So, you know, we've covered a lot of ground, Bill. And you know what? I'm going to have you on again as we move along, and we can talk further about exchange-traded funds, because I just love being able to get exposure to commodities, get exposure to foreign markets. I love that EEM, by the way, emerging markets. That is another one that I'm in currently. But as we wrap up our exchange-traded fund discussion here on the Gains podcast, Bill, what's your takeaway? What do you want to get across to the Gains listener?
Well, I think, Andy, and that is there, like, whatever. There are so many products in this buffet of securities and exchange-traded funds. There's an unlimited, almost unquenchable selection of areas that you can invest in. Emerging markets, emerging market debt, again, Bitcoin, high yield, high-grade copper. I mean, whatever you want, you can allocate to. Now, the question is this. One, you have to make sure that every investor reads those prospectuses and understands that, you know, past performance is no indication of future returns. These ETFs can and do lose money, and they can be illiquid sometimes. And you have to make sure that you just be very, very, very diligent at what you're investing in and make sure it meets your financial goals. Because honestly, you know, when inflation kicks up and it's getting a little bit frothy, it can be somewhat enticing to add too much inflation exposure, say, to a portfolio, right? And so now we're seeing bonds actually perform quite well in a space that's talking about commodities. So you have, you know, high yield bonds and, you know, even the treasuries and AGG, TLT, IEI, like all these other ETFs that are treasury based and fixed income based are looking kind of interesting. So again, get down with a piece of paper, see where your risk tolerance is, chat with your financial advisor, make sure that you don't exceed the parameters of a good long-term prudent portfolio, and then from there you can add little bits and pieces just to add a little bit of alpha or extra additional return or diversification to your portfolio. Again, follow the rule of Hippocrates. First, do no harm to your portfolio, and then go from there.
Again, big thanks to Bill Ulivieri, owner of Senecal Capital Management in Glenview. The website, senecalcapital.com. And as always, hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, if that's an option for you. I've been told that's podcast gold. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We are back next Wednesday, and I look forward to seeing you then.
A News Radio WBBM podcast, powered by Odyssey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.